jump right into the word today because I tell you something, this is one of the few times that I've been pastoring this church for over 10 and a half years, and this is one of the few times, if you think about it, 10 and a half years, 52 weeks, I probably preach about 45 times a year, so 450 sermons plus. This is the one time in 450 sermons that I felt like God was just sitting on my heart like, you got to just get in it. You got to share what I'm telling people. I believe that God has a spirit of release in here for somebody today. I believe God's going to release you from some stress, some worry. He's going to release you into some things that God has for you. And so I don't want to take a whole lot of time with the fluff. Is that all right? I want to just hit the word today. Can we do that? All right. Here we go. If you have your Bibles, turn to Exodus 25, Exodus chapter 25, verse 31. We have been studying on a meeting with God, and we have been talking to you about God's blueprint for meeting with him. And we've been studying the Old Testament tabernacle. On Wednesday nights, we've been studying a series called The Gospel in the Tent, where we begin to see Jesus in the tabernacle through the outer pieces. On Sunday mornings, we're focusing on the furniture inside the tent. And I thought we were going to go one direction this morning with the piece of furniture that we're studying today, but God had something different. Can you put up the outline for the tabernacle so I can make sure everybody knows where we are in our message today? If you've missed any of the messages and you want to go back and hear them, all you've got to do is go online to our podcast and listen to our podcast. And they're all for free. Just go to rohichurch.org/listen, and you can get all of the previous podcasts to catch up. If you feel like one was really good and you wanted to hear it again because you missed some pieces or it really helped you, please check out the podcast. But this is our model. And what's so funny is we start from this right side, and we're moving into the Holy of Holies. The outer court is the place we always talk about where we enter his gates. This is his gates with thanksgiving. If y'all don't know why we worship so long, that's why. Because if you're going to get into the presence of God, the Lord says you got to start by giving me thanks and praise. And so we start off at the gate giving God thanks and praise. The brazen altar is the place of sacrifice. It's where we see the cross, where we see Jesus has died for our sins, to cover our sins. The bronze laver is the place where we wash away the residue of the sin, the guilt. So some of us have been forgiven, but we still carry the guilt. So the laver is the place of baptism. It's the place of the word of God washing us and cleansing us. That's all open. That's all not under a tent. That's all open. When we start talking about the tent of meeting, we start talking about these two rooms, the holy place and the holy of holies. Last week, I talked to you about the table of showbread. Today, I'm going to talk to you about the lampstand. Next week, we're talking about the altar of incense. And then we're going to move behind a second veil. And that's where we're going to really see God do some amazing works. I have been purposely saying I am not going to rush this process because I want this church to understand and really learn and grow in the area of how we meet with God. This is God's pattern. It's not ours. I figured if God said this is how you meet with me, then maybe we ought to try that pattern too. Amen. All right, so that's where we are in our series. That was the fun stuff. Let's move on. Let's get to the word. You ready? So Exodus chapter 25, verse 31. If you have your Bibles, and then I want you to find another one. I gave you Exodus 25, 31, but I also need you to find Exodus 27, 20. So keep your finger there in Exodus 27, 20. You got them both, Crystal? If you can't flip that fast, or you don't know how to do that on your phone because your phone only lets you see one scripture at a time, don't worry. The words will appear on your screen. I don't want to get you all flustered with it. We're going to be reading from the New King James Version. I'm going to ask you to do me one more favor out of reverence for God's word. Would you stand just one more time? We're going to lift up our Bibles or our electronic devices high in the air. We're going to say our Bible affirmation together. I want y'all to say this with conviction because God's going to do a work this morning. I guarantee you, I come with a prophetic word that God's got a word for somebody this morning. And I hope it's you. You ready? This is my Bible. It is God speaking to me. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. So I open my heart today to hear God speak a word that will change my life. Whoo, he's going to change it this morning. Come on, somebody praise him. He's going to change your life forever this morning. Amen. All right, Exodus 25, 31. Keep standing while we read this together. All right, you ready? You shall make, Come on, read with me. You shall also make a lampstand of pure gold. The lampstand shall be of hammered work. Its shaft, its branches, its bowls, its ornamental knobs, and flowers shall be of one piece. Now we're going to jump to Exodus chapter 27, verse 20, and let's read this together. It's on the screen. Ready? And you shall command the children of Israel that they bring you pure oil of pressed olives to cause the lamp to burn continually. Father, thank you for this word. I pray, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, that you would minister to each and every person that's here. Lord, move me aside. Holy Spirit, you have brought each person here with a purpose to hear this word today. Now, Lord, I pray that you would speak to them. May they so clearly hear your voice and not mine. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody say amen. Before you're seated, turn to your neighbor and say, turn the light on. Y'all don't seem like y'all care. Turn to somebody else and say, I don't think you heard me. Turn the light on. Amen. You may be seated in the house of the Lord. You may be seated in the house of the Lord. All right, I want to get and jump right into this piece of furniture. Crystal's going to put up the picture. We are talking about the golden lampstand. What's interesting about this golden lampstand, what's interesting about this picture is that it is made, this piece of furniture is made from one simple piece of gold. It is not made of multiple pieces that are put together. It is made of one piece, and the Bible says, hammer out of it this. Hammer out the pieces that look like the buds, and hammer out the pieces that the branches and the shaft and the ornamental knobs and the flowers. Make it all one piece. And I love that, because what the Lord shows us is gold is pure. Gold is representative of the honor and the royalty of God. And God said, hammer out, which means we're going to have to beat out the shape that we need it to be. This represents Jesus Christ on the cross, who was crucified for us in one piece. Come on, y'all. I don't know if y'all understand that. He died on the cross for us, for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. He was beaten and cast down because of our sins and our iniquities. And so we see that there. All right. That's all the deep stuff. Y'all ready? Now let's get to the word that God gave me. All right, so if you pay attention to the tabernacle, because I had to teach that part. If you pay attention to the tabernacle, like I said, the outer court is all outside. So there's no light. There's no worry about light because you're outdoors, right? But when you get into those two small rooms, it's completely covered. Put that next picture up for me. The next one. Yeah, so it's completely covered. So if you look outside, it's bright, but on the inside, it's absolutely dark. There's no light inside. So last week, we talked to you about the table of showbread, and we talked about how that represented the presence of God showing up. It's dark inside, but what God says is I don't want you to be dark in my presence. We got to put some light in there. I don't think God wants us fumbling around in his presence like this. He wants us to know and see what he's doing. So God says, I got to put a light in there so you can see. Now, what's interesting about darkness is that darkness is not a quantifiable entity. You cannot measure darkness. You can measure light in lumens. You can measure how much light is in a room, but you can't measure how much darkness is in a room. Why? Because darkness is not a real thing. Darkness is simply the absence of light. It doesn't really exist. So when we talk about things being dark, I don't know why we be stressing out like the darkness is going to come and overtake me. I don't know why people are scared of the dark at night, because all you got to do is turn on a light. When our kids were little and they were scared of the dark, what do? We put a night light in the room. Because if it was too light, they couldn't sleep. And if it was too dark, they couldn't sleep because they was in your bed. Watch this. So darkness cannot overtake light. Only light can overtake darkness. Now, if you think about it, and we go all the way back to Genesis. In Genesis, the Bible tells us that darkness hovered over the face of the deep. And Genesis 1:3, the Bible says, the Lord said, let there be light. And there was light. Whenever light comes, what does it do? It dispels darkness. Now, there has always been a battle between light and darkness, between revelation or the ability to see and your ability to be blind. And yet, God says, let there be light. Why? The word of God represents light. Psalm 119:130 says, the entrance of your word gives light. So when God spoke a word and said, let there be light, light showed up. Because his word brings light or revelation. I'm moving too fast, so let me slow it down. Watch this. I find it interesting when I think about the light, because when I studied about the light, I began to see how much God talks about light and darkness. As a matter of fact, one of our favorite scriptures is John 3:16. You could probably quote it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. If you can't quote it, don't worry about it. You can find it. It's John 3:16. But watch this. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world be saved through him. Verse 18 says, because we only read 3:16, we don't pay attention to the rest. The rest of it says, he who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of his one and only begotten son. And this is condemnation. So pay attention. He says, condemnation comes because you don't believe. Let me show you what condemnation is. And this is condemnation, that the light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light. People like darkness. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about. When you go to a club, is it dark or is it light? What do people do in a club? Stuff that needs to be kept in the dark. Come on. You ever turn a light on at the end of the night at a club? It's like everybody run like roaches. Time to go. Why? Because dirt gets done in the dark. But people like to be in the dark and do the dirt. And God is saying, I need to bring light into this dark world. Now catch this. Verse 19 says, and this is the condemnation. The light is here, but people choose darkness. Watch this, verse 20. For everyone practicing evil hates the light. Think about a roach. They practicing evil in your kitchen. You turn the light on, they hate the light. Why? Because they're going to expose the fact that you in there, that you doing darkness. But he who does the truth comes to light. You need to understand that there is a choice between light and darkness. Condemnation and the ability, when God says you are condemned, he is saying you're condemned not because of what you do. Everybody talking about, I got to watch my words. Oh, you used to be like this. Oh, you used to do that. Oh, you used to. That's not where condemnation truly ought to come from. Condemnation comes from the fact that I've chosen not to believe in Jesus Christ. That's it. Which means I get to choose whether I want to be in darkness or light. And I choose that. And you might be saying, but I keep doing bad stuff. God never said if you keep doing bad stuff, you're going to go to hell. He says you're going to go to hell if you don't choose to believe in me as my one and only son. Condemnation comes for not believing in Jesus. So here's the catch. If you believe, you walk in light. If you don't believe, you walk in dark. So you get a choice. Do I want to believe and be in the light? Or do I want to not believe and stay in the dark? See, here's the catch. A lot of people that we keep trying to tell about Jesus Christ, it's not that they don't know that he's the light. It's that they don't want to go in the light. Yeah, yeah. Think about before you came to Jesus. People invited you to church. You was like, nah, bruh. I'm good. Why? Because I don't want to go over there and let that church expose no mess in me. But God is like, the church is not about exposing the mess in you. The church is about saying, here is the light. Make a choice whether you want to come into it or not. He's not saying choose the club or Jesus. He's saying just choose Jesus and I'll take care of the rest. It blows my mind how we overcomplicate Christianity. Christianity ain't hard. If I choose Jesus, I made the last and final most important choice I'll ever make. The rest of it, he works out. Some of y'all been stressing, trying to get stuff fixed out and trying to figure stuff out. And if I could just get this right and if I could get that right, then I'll come to Jesus. And God says, stop with all that madness. Just come to me and you'll be walking in the light. I want you to see this in the passage because this passage is really powerful. Watch this. It says, verse 21, but he who does the truth comes to the light. You would think that I would do the truth when I was in the light. No, but when I believe in Jesus, I have now chosen to walk out of darkness straight up in the light. So darkness and light are very, very interesting. I need you to know that it's a choice whether you keep the lights off at your house or it's a choice where you choose to turn the light on. It's a choice whether you choose to say yes to God or it's a choice whether you choose to say no. And each of those choices have their own consequences, but it's a choice. I need you to do me a favor, Anna Maria. Turn the lights off in the room. This ain't going to work well because we got extra lights everywhere. Now watch this. Anna Maria, turn the lights on. That was a choice. We could turn the lights off and sit in the dark for the rest of service. And some of y'all like that because you're like, she can't see me. She'll know what I'm doing. She can't see my face, can't tell what I'm thinking. But watch this. All I got to do is speak a word, turn the lights on, and the lights are on. It's a choice, and it happens just that fast. When you make a choice to say, yes, God, yes to whatever you say, yes to whatever you do, you immediately turn a light on, and God does the rest. Now, watch this. I want to show you this because this is important to me. 2 Corinthians 4:6. I'm moving fast because this ain't the good stuff yet. 2 Corinthians 4:6 says this, for it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. This scripture is packed with several things we're going to focus on today. God is the one who commands the light to shine out of darkness. God looks at your situation and say, I know things can be better. Come out. God, look, leave it up there. God looks at what you're going through, and he's the one who says, light needs to come out of this. You go, see, you think you're the one who sits back and say, I need light. God's like, I've been saying you needed light from the day you was born. You're just coming into an awareness of the fact that you need light. It's been dark for a long time in some of y'all lives. Oh, Jesus is about to mess this up. It was dark when I didn't know Christ. But God commanded light to shine out of darkness. Watch this. Who has shone in our hearts? And how does the light come? To give the light of knowledge. Light and knowledge work together. And it says of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. So I want you to see that. God commands the light. This is the same Jesus, God, who in Genesis said, let there be light, and light shone. What happened in creation when God said, let there be light, happened also in me. When God said, let there be light in me. Now, I want to help you see something because I never noticed this. In Genesis, God said, let there be light, but then it took 4 days for him to make the sun. I was confused. Genesis 1, he says, there was darkness over the earth, and the first thing he says, Genesis 1:3, is let there be light. All y'all Bible scholars are trying to pull it up. Like, I don't know, I don't believe that's true. It's true. Pull it up. Go to Genesis 1. Watch this. Genesis 1:3, he says, let there be light. Now watch this. Genesis 1:16, he said, then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, that's the sun, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth. That was said, that's the sun and the moon, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from darkness. And God said it was good. And you don't believe me, it's the fourth day. Watch this, verse 19. So the evening and the morning were the... So I got the problem, God? See, when I read the Bible, I'll be like, Jesus, this don't make no sense. Because if you said, let there be light day one, why you got to make sun and moon on day four? What in the world was we looking at day one through three? Don't nobody read the Bible like that? Maybe it's just Shana Hurd's interpretation of how I read the Bible. But I was like, God, you're going to have to make this plain. And it was this revelation. I'm going to show it to you in the book of Revelation so you can understand the book of Genesis. Y'all are like, what is she doing? Revelation 21, 23. I'm messing with y'all. Some of y'all are just mad right now. Can you believe I ain't never seen this before in my life? And you're going to sit there and pull something out in church. I knew the creation story and you messing with it. Revelation 21, 23. The city had no need of the sun or the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. So on day one, when God said, let there be light, he said, Jesus, go ahead and shine. The glory of the Lord lit up the earth for 3 days before God said, I'm going to make a sun and I'm going to make a moon. Yeah. Now, how do I know it was Jesus? The Lamb of God, Jesus is the Lamb of God, is the light. Revelation is the future telling of what's going to happen. If you understand the book of the Bible, Genesis to Revelation, it's all about getting, Genesis is one creation story, the first three chapters of how beautiful the earth is and how God desired it to be. From Genesis 4 on to Revelation 21, we screwed it up and God's been trying to fix it. Revelation 21 is the fix. We got about five chapters in the Bible where we got it right. The first three, and we messed up in three and a half, and the last two of the Bible. And here's the catch. The Lamb is the light. Jesus is the light. So when you think about the tabernacle and you think about the darkness, when he say, turn the light on, he say, let my presence come on up in there. Let my glory shine in there. Let my glory and my presence be with you. Now you've got to catch this because this is extremely important to understand the story today. We were in darkness, but Jesus said, let there be light. We were in darkness before we came to Jesus. And the Bible in 2 Corinthians says, God said, let there be light, which was the face of God shining. Watch this. So God's glory is coming and he's saying, now I want you to understand, turn the light on. Because I don't want my people walking in darkness. Get my presence in your light. Because I don't want you walking around in darkness. If you can walk in my presence, you won't be in darkness. If you can be with me, you won't be in darkness. Why? Because I'm the light. Oh, you don't like that. Y'all, they don't like it, Jesus. This is why David said, don't take your face from me, because David knew God was the light. This is why David said, all I want to do is be in your presence. The one thing I want to do is be in your presence. Now, put a pin in that for just a second. Y'all ready? I feel like I'm all over the place, but y'all following me. You following me? Okay, good. Exodus 27, 20. This is our main scripture. So who's the light? Jesus. Before the sun and the moon, there was the glory, and then God made a light. Which kind of makes me say, God says, the source, the resource is the sun and the light, but I'm the actual source of light. So some of us got to stop looking for resources and start looking for the source in him. Stop looking for God to give me and just go to God, because if you go to God, you'll get everything you need. Oh, okay, that's another message. All right, Exodus 27, 20. Watch this. And you shall command the children of Israel that they bring you pure oil of pressed olives for the light, to cause the light to burn continually. God says, this light in the tabernacle needs to be on all the time. Don't let the light go out. You think, well, if I go to bed, that's some PG&E money right there. I'm not trying to let the light be working when ain't nobody in there. God says, I don't care if anybody's in the temple or not. The light needs to be burning all the time. My presence needs to be there all the time. Watch this. And most of us think of the lampstand or the candlesticks, because it looks like candles. We think of waxed candles. They didn't have no wax candles. They just had oil. And the key was to use the oil to keep the lights lit. If the oil runs out, there's no light. Some of y'all just caught that. The oil represents the anointing of God. The light represents the knowledge and the power of God. Where the oil runs out, where the anointing runs out, there is no knowledge. There is no power. Okay. I'm moving too fast, so let me slow it down. Watch this. 1 Samuel 3, 1 through 3. God said the light's got to be on all the time. Now watch this. Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare. Now I want you to think about this. God wasn't showing up speaking a lot back then. If y'all are having moments where you feel like you can't hear God, I'm about to speak to you. The word of the Lord was rare. There was no widespread revelation of God. Now, let me show you why. And it came to pass at that time, while Eli was lying down in the place, and when his eyes had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, watch this, and before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord where the ark was, Eli got old, he couldn't see. Samuel was supposed to be taking care of putting oil in the lamp, and you know what happened? They let the lamp go out. So since the oil stopped running, the revelation that comes from God stopped flowing. So they weren't hearing from God no more. So some of y'all are like, why am I not hearing from God? It's because you're not getting in a place where there's an anointing. What does that mean? If you got a church home, like this one is a good one, and the anointing and you are coming and you hear from God when you show up, you need to be here all the time. Because the word of the Lord, you're saying, I ain't hearing from God. Well, go get around where the word of God is coming. Well, I'm not hearing from God anymore, but you used to read your Bible every day. And when you read your Bible every day, you were like, I hear from God. I feel close to God. And now you're not doing that anymore. You're letting the light run out. Yeah. I used to be in worship and God would just speak to me while I was worshiping, whether in the church or at home by myself. I'm not hearing God anymore. Get back to worship. So you got to go back. Where was the place where God spoke to you? Because watch this. The light ran out. Watch this. This is so cool. The light runs out. And what you need to know post that is, watch verse 4. The Lord called him and says, and he says, Samuel. Why did the Lord open up and speak when the light went out? Because the Lord said the light has to be on continually. I'm not going to let you forget me. I'm going to talk to you. When the light goes out, when you seem like you're getting distant from God, don't stress. I'm going to call you. You're going to have somebody come up to you and say, hey, you should come to church this Sunday. Now, in that moment, remember I said choice. You got a choice to walk in the darkness or you got a choice to get in the light. And I'm going to choose whether I want to keep hearing God speak to me and hearing God move in my life and hearing God flow in my life based upon whether I say, nah, I like it dark, or no, I'm going to go ahead and get in the light and do what you want me to do. God is not going to let you stay out there in the darkness too long. He going to talk to you. He going to find you. He has been hunting you down because he loves you and he's crazy about you. He does not want you out there in the dark. That's why he says it is he who commands the light in you. You got to catch this. If you walk in the dark, all you got to do is say, Lord, turn the light on, and he will show you how to get right back to him. And even if you can't do that, somebody going to be coming to you, talking to you about Jesus. You're going to be watching TV and you're going to see Jesus. You know, you ever been watching TV and then you just turn it on and a sermon be on and it be the word that you needed. And you sitting there going, how did they know? They didn't know. The Holy Spirit said, you in darkness, I got to turn some light on for you. You minding your own business, driving down the street, and you look up and you see something like a cross and you go, he trying to talk to me. It's just a telephone pole, but to you, you see a cross. Because he's talking to you. He's not going to leave you. God loves you too much. You are the apple of his eye. He is absolutely crazy about you. He loves you. You are his treasured one, his chosen one. You are his daily delight. God is crazy about you. Do you think that somebody you are crazy about, when they make a choice to walk away, you just going to say deuces? No. You're going to go say, hey, boo, where you at? Come on back. That's what God's doing. He loves you. He ain't going to let you get too far. But you got a choice. I want to stay in darkness. Or I want to stay in light. Okay, now, let me get to the word that God gave me. You ready? So who did we say is the light? And Samuel, the oil needed to burn perpetually. Had to burn all the time. John 9:5. Watch this. Jesus starts talking to the people. And he says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. I am. This is one of Jesus' 7 I am statements. Now, I find it interesting that he doesn't say, I was the light of the world. He doesn't say, I will be the light of the world. No, I am. From Genesis, when the glory came on because I was there, to Revelations, because the Lamb is the light, I am the light of the world. You need to get that he is the light. But then he says something funny in Matthew 5:14. I find this baffling to me. That he says, I am the light of the world. But in Matthew 5:14, he says, you are the light of the world. Wait, hold up. Which one the light, Jesus, me, or you? Jesus says, I am the light of the world. You are the light of the world. Here's what got me. Jesus says, when you ask me to come into your heart, I come in. And the light that I am is now inside of you. So now the light in you is Jesus, the hope of glory. And that Jesus in you now means you are the light of the world. And I was like, cool, Jesus. But then the next line messed me up. He said, a city that is set, don't go back. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Wait. You are the light of the world. You can't be hidden. I was like, God, I kind of got a problem with that. He says, no. You're missing it. You are the light of the world, and I have placed you as a city on the hill to shine brightly for everybody to see because you're the light. We keep getting afraid of shining because we're afraid of what people are going to say. We're afraid of the darkness. We're afraid of how they're going to react. We're afraid of the social media outcome. We're afraid of, if I say this, they're going to think I'm a Jesus freak. You need to stop all that. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. I love this because it says a city on a hill shall not be hidden. It doesn't say that. It says it just can't happen. See, some of y'all think you can hide your light, but I kind of got a problem with that. You can't hide your light. You ever tried to be incognito at work and not tell nobody you know Jesus? And then people always be coming up to you telling you their problems? Always be coming up to you talking about, you know what, I just need you to pray for me. I ain't say I was, because you can't hide that light. I'm on my business. I sit at baseball games like all weekend long. And I just sit there. I'm a little bit more vocal than most people, but I sit at games. And, you know, people just come sit to me and tell me all their problems. It literally is a counseling session for 2 hours. And I'm like, I was just here to watch my baby play. You know why? Because a like city on a hill cannot be hit. You ever go to the grocery store and just like the one person who everybody trying to avoid somehow or another connects with you? I don't even know you. Why are you talking to me? Because a city on a hill cannot be hidden. See, you got a light, and the problem is that you don't know that that light cannot not shine. Watch the next verse. Remember I said you got a choice. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket. Who lights a light and puts it under a basket? Because apparently I'm lighting the light because I want it to shine. Which tells me that the only reason I put a basket over it is because I'm trying to hide the light from people. I don't want nobody to see what's in me. I don't want nobody to see what God is doing in me. I don't want nobody to know how God's been changing me. I don't want nobody to know. Look, you go to your family functions and all they keep talking about is who you used to be. And you say, okay, that's fine, you're right, because you let them put a basket over the light. You don't stand out and say, oh, boo, that's not who I am no more. I mean, I know I used to cuss a lot. Gosh darn it, but I don't cuss no more. You might say some other words. They had this shirt. And I always wonder, I really think Facebook is like Big Brother, they be listening. Because I don't know where I get this from, but somebody put, there was an ad that came on for a t-shirt that says, I'm saved, I still cuss a little. I was like, how they know me? Oh my God. Watch this. So because I mess up, I want to put my light under a basket. And I realize it's not even sometimes because I'm afraid of what other people may say. Sometimes it's because, God, if I'm supposed to be living for you, then I don't think I'm supposed to do this, so I don't want nobody to know. I'm ashamed. And God says, you know what? I died on the cross for your shame. You ain't got to be shamed no more. I don't know why Christians want to sit there and not tell you how jacked up they used to be. Because isn't that the power of the light inside you? That I used to be crazy, still am. I used to cuss a lot. I used to be in relations with a lot of people. Gotta watch it because I got the kids. How many times these kids come to church now? I just be wanting to talk. No, I'm just kidding. I used to do a lot of stuff, but we don't want to tell nobody what I used to do. We want to hide it under a bushel. And then God gives us gifts and talents, and we're scared of them. So we say, God, I don't want nobody to see my gifts and talents. I don't want nobody to know my gifts and talents. God's called me to something, but I don't want nobody to know. When I first became pastor of this church, for many of you, I know there are a lot of new people in the room. 2008, we started this church in 2000. My husband and I, in 2008, he passed away suddenly from a massive heart attack. A week later, the church installed me or asked me, agreed to allow me to pastor. I felt the Lord was calling me to pastor this church, and I've been pastoring for 10 and a half years. Now, what's funny is when people used to ask me what I do, and I'm talking about even as recent as last week, so for 10 and a half years I've been doing this, people ask me what I do, and I said, I work for a nonprofit. And then it would be like I'd be minding my own business and I'd be at a baseball game. Somebody say, hey, ain't you the pastor of that church? Yeah. Or we used to go out. I used to go out, like when we'd take the ladies in the church out and we'd go out and I'd be acting crazy. And they'd be like, oh, Pastor Shane. I said, shh, shh, shh. Nobody know I'm the pastor. Can't be doing that. Just call me Shana when we out in public. The Lord began to speak to me back in January. And the Lord's been saying to me, he says, Shana, you got to come out of hiding. He says, you've been hidden for 10 and a half years. All the gifts, all the talents, all the word, all the stuff I put inside of you, girl, you're trying to put it under a basket. Look, and everywhere I went for the last 5 months has been get out of hiding. That word's not just for me. Many of you have gifts and talents, and you've been letting them get hid under a basket. God's given you words to encourage people. God's given you visions. Somebody said it today during worship. It was a prophetic word that came out, which is that there are dreams that God's trying to revive. There are things inside. You got dreams that you have locked up, and you think that you've locked them up because they're hard and you don't know how you're going to make it. You don't know how you're going to do it. No, you've hidden them and not realized that that was the light God was putting inside of you, and he's trying to get it out. Do you not know some of the visions you have are to bless somebody else and to help somebody else come out? And the problem is, come on, y'all can clap for that. The problem is you're hiding them thinking it's about you, but you're not realizing that there are a whole lot of other people that are supposed to have breakthrough through you, but they can't because you hide in the light on you. Can I use you as an example? Come here. I'm going to do this publicly right now. We have been walking together, Pastor Jen and I, for years. And she used to be our executive pastor here. And man, we used to talk about what the Lord was saying, and it was so fun. And then she was like, I got to go. Jesus is calling me to go to Valley Christian and teach. I said, well, go on in. Do what God's called you to do. No, we blessed her to go. We believe that's where God has her, because a city on the hill cannot be hidden. We have a gift in this church, and God was like, that gift's got to get out there. So she goes to Valley, and she's working, teaching. God's doing a work inside of her. And I said, you know, I appreciate what you're doing out there, Jen, but, you know, God's got something here for you, too. And she has fought it. So yesterday, Friday night, we were in leadership meeting, and I said, okay, y'all, where do y'all sense God calling y'all to be? And Jen said, oh, I know. I said, okay, well, Jen, tell everybody. She said, oh, no, you tell them. I said, I'm not going to tell them. You tell them. Well, why do I have to tell them? I was like, why are we sitting up in here like you two and we fighting? Can you just tell the people? And you know what it was? Why did you struggle to tell them?
Because it's a title I don't want everybody to know. What? And I don't want everybody to know.
God gave you something, but you don't want everybody to know I got it. You want to know what the title is? She has a mantle of the office of prophet on her. We believe in the fivefold ministry. Y'all don't think it's biblical, evangelist. Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. It's he who gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. We believe that all five must function in the church to operate well. So we've been praying, God, who's the apostle? Who's the prophet? Who's the evangelist? Who's the pastor? Who's the teacher? It doesn't mean there's only one. There's gifts that are flowing, but there's one that stands in the office. She stands in the office. Have you ever noticed Pastor Jen will just come up and give you a word? And you'd be like, that's from God. But I don't want everybody to know that. So I'll just, no, you tell them who I am. No, I'm not telling them who you are. You're the prophet in the house. Now listen to me. Y'all don't be running up there like, give me a word, give me a word, give me a word. She don't work like that. She ain't like some like magical crystal. This is when God has something, he will speak. And she has this special anointing on her where she can hear from God to download and help. Don't be all over her like, nah, I need a word, I need a word. Come on, Pastor Jen, speak to me, speak. No, no, no. Look, if you do that, I'm going to tell you to stop it, because that's not from God. God will speak when he's ready. So we're not going to be them cheesy people who be seeking stuff and just, smoke coming up. No, we ain't doing that. No, just God speaks. He uses her. Now, God is speaking through her on her job at school. There are so many young people that are hearing from God through her. So you got to know something. Even though God's using the gift in the church, he's using the gift in his workforce and on the world, too. Have a seat, Jen. Stop hiding from what God has put inside of you. Now, here's the last part. I don't know how much time I got, but I got to show you I'm out of time, but I got to show you the second part. You ready? This is going to be crazy. I said, well, God, if you want us to come out of hiding, I kind of got a problem, because the tent in the wilderness was hidden. I'm going to make this like in 2 minutes. This is going to be so good. I said, why was the tent under a covering if you don't want us, you want us to come out of hiding? Y'all notice it was dark on the outside. Nobody could see what's happening inside that little tent. Put that second picture up. Nobody could see what's going on. So, God, why are you telling me we are a light of the world and we need to come out? We need to come out of hiding. And blah, 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 blah. I like being in the tent being hidden. She said, yeah. You ready? So, God had to speak to me. I said, God, I don't like that. So I was in Bible study on Wednesday night, minding my own business, and one person in Bible study asked one question that destroyed all of Bible study, and we had to go down the path to figure out what they were talking about, and it was the answer to this question. This is why I like Bible study, because if you study the word, God will speak to you. Watch this, Exodus 33:18. Moses was talking to God and was in the tabernacle, and he said, God said, all right, y'all can go ahead and go over into the promised land, but I ain't going with you. Moses was like, look, if you don't go with us, we ain't going because we need your presence. And then God said, all right, I'll do that. And then Moses got bold. Well, then show me your glory. What did I tell you happened the first 3 days? God's glory was there. So Moses was like, I'm going to need your glory, not just the sun to shine. I'm going to need you to pop up and show up. Now watch God's response, verse 19. And God says, all right, I'll make all my goodness pass before you, and I'll proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I'll be gracious to you. Oh, I'll be gracious. I'll be compassionate on those. I'll be compassionate. Watch this, verse 20. And he says, but he said, you can't see my face, because if you see my face, you're going to die. Okay? So here's what I'm going to do for you. Verse 21. He says, you're going to come here. Here is a place right by me, and you're going to stand on the rock. Now pay attention to this version. So it shall be while my glory, what did we say the glory? Glory is the light, the first 3 days. While my glory passes by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock. What's a cleft of a rock? It's a cave. Yeah, it's ain't fun. And I will cover you, which means you'll be hidden, and my hand and I will pass, my glory will pass by. And so I start saying, God, why in the world did you have them in the tent and have the light in the tent so that the world couldn't see it? But then you tell us later that we're supposed to be the light of the world. And God said, because they weren't ready to shine yet. It's not that they didn't have the light. It's not that they didn't have the ability to have the light, but they weren't ready. They had to go through the wilderness to understand the light that was inside of them. Because if they don't go through the wilderness, they'll start shining and they'll start acting a fool because they don't know what it really means to have my light inside of them. So I got to hide them in the cleft of a rock and cover them and watch this. And while you're in there, it don't mean you ain't shining. It don't mean the glory ain't there. It just means God's working on you in the middle of your trials. Some of you have been through all kinds of hell, and you don't know why you've been through hell. You've been through hell because you were in a cleft on a rock, and God is saying, I'm trying to get something inside of you. I'm trying to teach you something. I'm trying to build something inside of you. Why in the world did I have to go through 10 years before God said come out? Because if I'd have came out, oh Jesus, if I'd have came out 10 years ago, the 10 year ago me would have messed up what God is trying to do right now. God said, I got to put you in the cleft of the rock because I got to work with you. I got to perfect you. I got to get you to focus on me so that when I bless you, you don't fall apart. Some of you are in the cleft of a rock and you're complaining. Shut up. You're right where you're supposed to be. Start praising God because he's not done. And some of you, you've been in that rock long enough. And God is saying, it's time for you to come out of hiding. Only you know where you are. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to close service really weird, and then I'm going to let y'all go. It's going to be really crazy. I got two sides of the room. I'm going to ask you to get up and move. You can stand. You can sit. You can walk. You can kneel. Do whatever you want to do. This side of the room is for those of you who feel like you're going through it, and you're in the cleft of the rock, and God's working on you. That's what this side is. This side of the room is for the room where you know God has been working on you and he's saying it's time for you to get out and shine. I want you right now to just move to one side of the room or the other. You in the cleft of the rock saying, aha, because I'm going to pray for you right where you are. Or you on the side where he's saying it's time to shine. You can sit, stand, walk. I don't care what you do, but just pick a side. This is like, y'all ever remember Black Sheep? He said, the choice is yours. You can get with this or you can get with that. You can get with this or you can get with that. You can get with this or you can get with that. But you got to choose. You can't be in the middle road. You got to pick cleft of the rock or God's trying to bring you out. Come on, God's getting ready to do something. We're almost there. Move, move. Okay, don't be in the middle. Don't be in the middle. Don't be in the middle. Pick a side. All right, we ready? Cleft of the rock. All right, all of you people that are coming out of hiding, I want you to do me a favor. Extend your hand over here. We're going to pray for the people that's in the rock. Father, I thank you. Those of you in the rock, lift your hands right now. I thank you for those that feel like they are going through it right now and they don't understand what you are doing. They don't know why. I pray, God, that you would strengthen them. I pray that you would fill them with your spirit. I pray that you would remind them that they're shining even while they're in the cleft of the rock. I pray that you would show them your glory. And if you study that passage, he says, my glory is my goodness and my compassion and my grace on you while you're going through this. I pray in Jesus' name that you will understand that God is using this and he's going to call it to come to pass for a later time as this. I pray for those of you that are in struggling with grief, struggling with stress, struggling financially, struggling and worrying about how am I going to do this. In Jesus' name, I turn the light on and I declare that God is walking right in the middle of you, and I lift every burden, lift every worry, lift every stress, lift all the grief. In Jesus' mighty name, I declare over you that there is a spirit of releasing you right now in the middle of this, in Jesus' mighty name. All right, now here we go. Here we go. Y'all turn to them. Y'all point to them. Y'all lift your hands. It's time to come out of hiding. In Jesus' name, visions right now. God, I pray that you would release visions. I pray that you would release ideas. I pray, Father God, I sense there's already stuff inside of you that you've been saying I'm not going to do. But in Jesus' name, I declare right now, all you got to do is take a step and God will reveal the next step. Take one other step and God will show you the next step. I pray right now, God, you'll show them what they're supposed to do. And I declare that there is an anointing on your obedience. There's an anointing that when you take a step, God's going to show up. That there are lights that people are going to start speaking to. Some of you have got visions and dreams that you've been holding back. And I declare in Jesus' name that they shall come forth right now. And I release over you the joy of the Lord, which is your strength. I give you joy. I give God praise. Come on, I need y'all to begin to shout and give him praise right now. You're coming out of hiding. So what do I want you to do with this? I want you on both sides of the room. Look, I could bring you here. I could pray for you. I could lay hands on you. We could do all that stuff. But I don't sense God saying that right now. You know what I sense God doing? Get you a piece of paper and write what God's saying to you so you don't lose it. And then starting right now, get out from under the basket and start shining. You know what that means. For some of these children that are at school, you've been hiding. Nobody knows you're a believer. You won't have to go to school with a shirt to say, I'm a Jesus freak. All you got to do, some of you, is just start praying over your food at school in front of folks. Some of you children, all you got to do is start saying, thank you, Jesus, and walk out. Hallelujah. All you got to do is do the little that God's telling. I ain't asking you to be like me. I'm not asking you to be like Pastor. Just be you. And trust that when God shows you what to do, you already shine. In Jesus' name. I'm done. So I'm going to pray for you. And I'm going to bless you so you can leave. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you. May the Spirit of the living God rest, rule, and abide with you. Henceforth, now and forevermore, I speak God's blessings over all of you. I sense this. All of y'all in a cleft. Some of y'all need to hug each other because y'all like, we in a cleft together. And all of y'all coming out, hug each other, telling you you're coming out. Go ahead and go. And if you have a chance, if you got a little few minutes before you leave, don't leave, because the Bible tells us in the Word of God that when a seed gets sown, y'all ever seen this parable? A seed gets sown. You want the seed to fall on good ground so it'll produce a harvest. But what will happen is Satan stands outside the door like a bird waiting to snatch that seed from you. So if you could take 2 minutes, if you got it, write it down. If you don't have it, speak it into your phone in the car. But don't let it go, what God's telling you to do. Amen? All right, when people ask how you're doing, what's your response going to be? Amen. Make sure you give somebody from your side of the room a hug, and then you can hug people from the other side too. God bless you. Have a great day. I'll see you guys. If you're available, come Wednesday night to Bible study at 7 o'clock. We're talking about the power of the cloud. That's the presence of God. Amen.
You have been listening to Pastor Shayna Hurd, Senior Pastor of Rohi Christian Church, a multi-ethnic, economically diverse, spirit-led congregation located in San Jose, California. for audio teaching downloads by Pastor Shana, service times and directions, or to become a Rohi partner, go to www.rohichurch.org or write to Rohi Christian Church, 474 Piercy Road, San Jose, California, 95138.